ask you to please be with those that weren't able to make it today, Lord. And I just ask you to protect each and every one of us just from and being part of this world, Lord. We're not from this world. We just live in it. And we just want to ask your guidance in all we do. Today, Lord, I just want to ask you to hold me close to your word and help me be able to share your word, Father, with those that really need it right now. Father God, I ask you to please be with Luciano, his wife, Elisa, and their family, Lord. Just comfort them and help them right now. And with everything going on in their life and the loss of the brother, Father, I just want to ask you to please be with them. For Stephen, Father, for his just for your healing hands to continue to be on him, Lord, and help him get through this. We thank you for everything he's accomplished already and getting better, Father. We just ask you to continue to help the family and everything they're doing and just to be with the kids, Father. We love you. We thank you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Good morning. So today, I want to ask you guys another question to start. How many of us are old enough to make our own decisions? Now, when we make a decision, we usually take in the good and the bad, right? We see what's convenient for us at that moment. But what happens when what's convenient for us is against God? Many kids start seeing peer pressure early in school. We see vaping now being a big thing catered to the youth. Kids are starting to go to parties and offered drinks, drugs, and even sex. And it's all part of life now. You know, you open up or you look into society and that's what we see. Pills are being a big thing right now. Our kids are being offered these expensive pills, and when they can't no longer afford them, they start looking for the next cheaper thing, which is heroin. What do we see on TV? We see sex everywhere, from the TV shows that we watch to the commercials. We see it in music videos, and it makes the kids start thinking this is normal from an early age. How many of us have ever been peer pressured? How many of us have peer pressured someone? Yeah, often we hear of kids going to parties and, you know, they're offered these alcoholic drinks. And even knowing that they're underage, knowing that you still can't, you know, you can barely drive, but you still drink and you get behind the wheel of a car. We do it so we can fit in. Not because we were thirsty or needed to have that beer, but we are often put in a spot where we either do what is right and disappoint people, or we do what is wrong and disappoint God. When I was younger, I have to admit, I used marijuana, and I would tell people that it wasn't a drug. I would tell, my mom was a heroin addict, my neighborhood was full of meth and heroin, so I decided to draw a line and say what was good and what was bad. So later on down the line, I had a friend that I met, came down from Northern California. He just smoked like me, so I thought it was cool to hang out with this guy, and one day there was something else in the bag. I knew what it was, and I told myself, you're not going to do it. I even told him, you know, you're not going to do it. I'm not going to do this, and he was okay with it. But somehow, even after he said, oh, it's cool, I was okay with doing it once. And I have to admit that I was disappointed in myself. I even swore that I would never do any other drug but marijuana. But that day, it changed. I started by opening a door that I could have stopped by just saying no. You see, I broke from the peer pressure, and the truth is, I wasn't even peer pressured. I was just in the spot. I said no, and it was cool, but I made that small bad decision to stay there. I put myself in that position. And if I would have just said no from the beginning, maybe that would have never happened. But today, we're gonna be reading from the book of Daniel, and we'll pick up in chapter 3. But first, I want to give you guys a little background about what's going on in the book of Daniel. Daniel was a man known as a prophet, and a prophet was someone that would communicate to God's people for God. They used to have them like kind of like a spokesman, you know, not like us now that can speak to God with the Holy Spirit. But the book of Daniel begins in the city of Judah being attacked And over 3,000 Israelites are being taken captive, or Jews being taken captive, and along with the other sacred objects from God's temple. The men were taken, and they were picking the best ones to work in the royal court of Nebuchadnezzar. And the king offered them to eat the best food and wine from his kitchen so they could be well fed. And out of these four young men, there was four friends. I can't say some of the names. I still have trouble. But I know Daniel is Belteshazzar. Then it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were the names that were given to them when they came to Babylon. Now, these four asked for permission from the king to not eat the food off his table because it was against their beliefs. Some of the food from the king's table was forbidden for Jews to eat. It was unclean. How the meals were prepared, the Jewish men had no idea if they were following the rules when it was cooked. And then most of that food was already offered to idols. So they had a good reason to not eat this food. But the guard, he didn't want that, because he thought if they became pale and weak for not eating, he would be beheaded. So the guard wanted them healthy. But Daniel, have you guys ever heard of the Daniel plan? So Daniel came up with an idea. He asked for a 10-day test. On those 10 days, they drank water and ate vegetables. And after the 10 days, those men looked so more healthier, more nutrition than the rest of the men, that the king started feeding everyone else water and vegetables. So he took their food and wine. But so I want to remember, when we talk about small decisions, well, here's the first one they made, and it was the right one. They were basically offered an outing of God, but they didn't take it. They could have been just like, I'm already a slave, and slaves can't be beggars. What if that's not all they're going to feed me? What if I don't eat and I die? What good am I to anyone else? I'll just eat what they give me, But no, they didn't. They stood up for what they believed in. Even though they were the only ones, soon after, like I said, all the men were following them, doing what they did, eating fruit, vegetable and water. After finding favor, Daniel was promoted to work in the temple of Nebuchadnezzar. Then in chapter 2, God gave Nebuchadnezzar a dream, and Daniel interpreted it. It was a statue made with the legs made of iron, which symbolized the Roman Empire. The belly was made of brass and represented the Grecian Empire. The breast and arms were made of silver, and that represented the Medo-Persian Empire. And the head was made of gold, representing Babylon. But Nebuchadnezzar wasn't happy with this interpretation of God's image, that he actually made what he believed his dream should have been, his image. And that's what we pick up in chapter 3. So as we begin in chapter 3, I have 3 points. Point 1, will you stand? Point 2, will you bow? Point 3, will you give glory to God? How many times has sin came into your life and became comfortable? We often open that door and let sin in, and it finds a place and it stays. Have you ever done something wrong but got away with it? Did you feel like, oh yeah, I got away with it, no one's going to know? Or are you the one that says, you know what, I shouldn't have done that, I'm going to go make this right? A lot of times we get away with something and it becomes normal. We start to steal a piece of candy, later you find yourself a diamond thief. Or you can begin as a dope dealer and later become the junkie. We need to stand for our beliefs from day one. We can't let our friends or even at times our family influence us. We need to stand for our beliefs in Christ. As we start chapter 3, we find 3 friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are put in a position where they would have to choose what is right or what is wrong. So as we start chapter 3, point 1 is, will you stand? Verse 1 reads, King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet tall and 90 feet wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. You see, the King Nebuchadnezzar was a very wealthy, very powerful man with so much pride that he wanted the statue made of him. He wanted the statue to be 90 feet tall and made of gold. Now, I just told you guys a little bit about God's image in chapter 2, where Babylon was just ahead and made of gold. Do we see the connection here, where the new statue is all gold, where Nebuchadnezzar wants it to be all Babylon? That's the difference when, you know, we get God's word and we mix our word. Verse 2 reads, then he sent messages to the higher officials, high officers, officials, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, majesties, and all the provisional offices to come to the dedication of the statue he had set up. So all these officials came and stood before the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Verse 4, then a herald shouted out, people of all races and nations and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's golden statue. The problem here was that these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, could not bow down to this statue and worship it. For the reason was they would only bow down to the one true God. And you guys, that's the number one commandment we have now. It tells us in Exodus 20:30, you shall have no other gods before me. So what are you doing by bowing down to that God? You're disobeying our God. Verse 6 reads, anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace. So at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever the race or nation or language, bowed to the ground and worshiped the gold statue that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So when the time came and the signal was given, I picture it like you hear all the instruments and all the people bowing down. But when you go to a football stadium, you know, they do the wave and you see all the people kind of like going down at one time. That's kind of how I pictured it. Everyone went down. And then at the end, you only see the three guys standing. So what do you guys, we do things even though they are wrong because it's convenient for us, but it's still sin. You know, what do they say? The liar says, at least I don't steal. The thief says, at least I don't kill. So we try to justify things. I used to buy food stamps off people because they were going to sell them anyway, right? And the truth is that those food stamps weren't for me. They were for someone else. They were to help feed kids or themselves. But I would buy them, pay them half the money, what they were worth, and I was happy. I didn't care if the kid didn't eat or the family didn't have money, as long as it was beneficial to me. I mean, I didn't hurt nobody in this process, but it was still against the law. How many of us sin and can still try to justify it? I had a bad day at work, so I just needed to get through the day. How often do we hear excuses that it's just because of this that I did that? How many of us do taxes? Have we ever answered something on our tax return that maybe helped us get an extra credit that maybe we didn't deserve? What about when we go to the buffets and you have a six-year-old, but if they're 5 years old, they get in for free? So you tell the kid a lie about his age. You know, not that I've done this or anything, but just the top. But these three friends, they were willing to stand for what they believed in. Can we stand for what we believe in? My second point is what we bow. In verse 8, it reads, but some of the astrologers went to the king and informed on the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, long live the king. You issued a decree requiring all the people to bow down and worship the gods, the gold statue. When they hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments. That decree also stated that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into a blazing fire. But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your God and do not worship the statue, the gold statue that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be brought to him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my God or to worship the statue that I have set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made. When you hear the sound of the musical instruments, but if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace." So, quick question. Would you guys have stayed standing at that point? You know, you've just been given the second chance. You're already going into the, you know, you're on death row already. I mean, nothing would happen if you would bow, you know. I'm pretty sure many of them people were like, "I'm just gonna bow. It doesn't really mean nothing. I'm not doing it with my heart." But the truth is, you still obeyed God's request to not bow to other gods. And then what God will be able to rescue you from his power, he said. But listen to the bold answer these men had. Verse 16 reads, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves from you.'" This dude's a king. You know, people are scared. Every time he talks, you have to respond. But not these three. These men were letting it be known that this was not something that was up for debate. Verse 17 tells us, "If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty." You guys, we need to trust in his mercies and goodness. We need to trust that he will deliver us from whatever we are facing, no matter what we are facing, who we are facing, and when we are facing it. These men knew that they were in God's hands and that nothing could stop that. How many of you guys know that you guys are in God's hands? So we got to understand that too. Nothing can stop us as long as from keeping God's word. Verse 18 reads, "But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the golden statue that you have set up." Like Barnes said, these men would rather suffer than sin. How many of us can say we would do that? That we would rather suffer than sin? It's pretty tough, right? A few years ago, there was a story about a group of Christians that were captured by ISIS, and they were took to a beach, lined up, and dropped to their knees. One by one, they were asked to renounce their faith in Christ. As they refused to denounce Christ, they were shot in the back of the head, one by one, at point-blank range. When they reached the last person in that line, they asked him the same question. But his response was different. He stated that he was not a Christian. But after witnessing the faith of the rest of these people killed on the beach, he proclaimed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior before he was also killed. You guys, will we give glory to God? In verse 19, Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated up 7 times hotter than usual. When I think of a furnace, I think like the ninja movies where they have like the samurai swords, they put them in the fire, pull them out, and beat them. But, you know, that's a small little furnace. Now, we're talking about a 90-foot tall statue, so you can just imagine the size of furnace they had to have. When they said, okay. Verse 20 starts with, "Then he ordered some of the strongest men of the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them in the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the three men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. Real quick, how many times have we gotten upset and find ourselves in a downward spiral? I remember working on my lowrider a while back. Well, it's been a few years back, and I smashed my fingers with a wrench. And I was so mad that I threw the wrench, only for the wrench to bounce back and hit me. Has that ever happened to you guys, where you get mad and it's just like you try to do something and it's just thing after thing? Well, Nebuchadnezzar was probably just like that at that point. He was so mad that they denied his request. I mean, could you imagine someone denying the king's request or even being disobedient against him? You know, those people got beheaded quick. He got so mad that he probably didn't even think of the consequences, you know, that his own men were even killed. So verse 24 tells us, but suddenly Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to the advisor, didn't we tie up three men and throw them in the furnace? Yes, your majesty, we certainly did. 25, look, Nebuchadnezzar said, I see four men unbound walking around in the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god. This king couldn't believe his eyes. He just had three men tied up, probably so they wouldn't be able to escape. But when he looked in the fire, they were walking around untied, unharmed, and there was someone else in there. If we look at the verse 25 in the ESV version, it reads, he answered and said, but I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. Son of the gods. Some say they meant it's the meaning of a divine image or an angel, while others believe it is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ making a guest appearance in the Old Testament. Now ask yourselves, if we are reading from the Old Testament right now, how can that be Jesus? I mean, Jesus wasn't born in the Old Testament. The answer is, yeah, he was born many years later, but Jesus has been found throughout the whole Old Testament. But that in itself is a study for another day. But there are a few guest appearances that I do want to show you. Joshua 5. Now it came about when Joshua was in Jericho that he had lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite of him with the sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or are you our adversary? He said, no, rather I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down. He said to him, what has my Lord to say to his servant? The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Exodus 3:2 tells us about an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consuming. So verse 26 in Daniel chapter 3 tells us, then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. This act of bravery by these men made a believer out of such a terrible person. He no longer was angry, but surprised. He was so surprised that he didn't even hesitate in calling the fourth man God, son of the Most High, of the Most High God. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of that fire. 27, then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their head was singed. Their clothes was not scorched. They didn't even smell like smoke. They came out unharmed. I mean, they were dropped. You know, they were probably not set down. They were probably thrown as hard as they could into that furnace. They were dropped violently. The fire was so crazy that it even killed the soldiers. And they were still perfectly fine. This is truly amazing. I like to consider myself a grill master. And I know when I'm getting things ready to put on the smoker sometimes and to get the fire going, I don't even touch the fire and I smell like smoke or I feel the fire burning me. So I don't know how, you know, I mean, I know how it could be. They were protected by Christ. You guys, verse 28 starts with, "Then Nebuchadnezzar said, 'Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb, and their house will be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no other god who can rescue like this.'" Verse 30, "The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions in the province of Babylon." Now, as I close today, I hope many of us have never have to pick between our faith and a fiery furnace. But I do know that we will have to pick between our faith and some of the fiery furnaces we deal with personally every day. Whether it's alcohol, drugs, sex, pornography, lying, stealing, greed, anger, whatever we are dealing with, whatever holds you back from getting closer to God, that is your fire. But trust in his word. Hebrews 13:5 tells us, "Don't love money, but be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, 'I will never fail you. I will never abandon you.'" Psalms 46:1 tells us, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble." No matter what you're facing, guys, he's there for you. We need to trust him always, no matter what. No plan Bs no more. Stand for what you believe in, his word. Or are we going to bow down when it comes time and we are challenged? You guys, we are never alone. God's with us. We must always give glory to God. Just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were willing to give their lives and trusted in God rather than worship anything else. No matter what comes, the outcome is, God is still in full control. I want to share something that Dr. J. Vernon McGee said about this Daniel 3. And he talked about the prophetic symbolization of the great tribulation that's here in Daniel 3. Nebuchadnezzar represents the Antichrist. The fiery furnace is a suffering in the great tribulation. The image represents the abomination of desolation that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ talked about. The three men represent the remnant that would be preserved during that period. But the one fact that I found interesting was Daniel was nowhere in this chapter. We don't know where he was. We don't know why he wasn't there. But a point Dr. J. Vernon McGee said that Daniel represented the church in here in chapter 3. He makes the point that the reason Daniel was not in this picture is because Daniel represents the church and the church is removed from the tribulation. So guys, I thank you guys for your time. I thank you guys for joining us. I want to ask you guys to let's go out and give glory to God in all we do, no matter what we face or what we've been doing. Let's treat everyone kindly, no matter how they treat us. Let's share Christ no matter what we are facing, no matter what fire you've been thrown into. If you guys could please bow your head with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Father God, I thank you for this message, Lord, and I thank you for everything you do in our lives. We ask you for guidance, Lord, as we go into our new week. We ask you for help in our VBS program. And Lord, we ask you for help in our lives. To whatever fiery furnace we may be dealing with today, Lord, that we find complete trust in you, Lord. No more plan Bs, no more other way outs. Father God, today we just want to ask you to help us completely trust in you, Lord. We love you, Father. We thank you. And it's in your mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for joining us. I hope you guys have a wonderful week.